It's Thursday, October 25th, and we are 11 days away from the 2018 midterm elections. This is the Political Abtract Podcast, episode number 5. Welcome back to the conversation. Well, we're going to do just a real quick take tonight. I wanted to jump on and discuss the events which have been dominating the headlines over the last 48 hours, and that's, of course, the letter bombs which have been sent to various Democratic officials, as well as to CNN headquarters in New York. And today there were 3 more devices discovered. 2 were uncovered in Delaware at a postal sorting facility. They were addressed to former Vice President Joe Biden. And there was a 3rd that was actually addressed and received at Robert De Niro's production company in Tribeca in New York. So the situation continues to unfold. There now have been a total of 10 devices. And I want to focus on the reaction on all sides because none of it has been very good. In fact, it's been somewhat disheartening, I have to be honest. And actually, I think that President Trump may have had the most measured reaction. It's really all the punditry and the media that's been out of control. But let me start by saying this. If your reaction to this horrible situation, and let's get one thing clear, that regardless of who you support, whether you're conservative or liberal, sending bombs in the mail, whether or not they're designed to go off, is a form of terrorism. It's designed to disrupt our democracy, and it should be universally condemned. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a joke. It's not a hoax. This is something that has absolutely no place in a civilized society. And I think we all need to stand united ground before we start assigning blame and say this is totally unacceptable. And we do have the very best law enforcement officials in the world that are working on tracking down the evidence. And I'm pretty confident in short order that they're going to haul somebody in for this. And hopefully he goes away to jail for the rest of his life. But if your reaction to this is to immediately turn and assign all of the blame to the other side, you're wrong. Regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, a liberal or conservative, everybody has a certain amount of blame for just how heated the rhetoric is in this country, the anger, the intensity of the passion that everybody is feeling. And when you have a situation where feelings are so intense and the rhetoric is so supercharged, it does tend to feed into extremism. Now, I'm of the opinion that a crazy person does not necessarily need an excuse to do something that's crazy. But there's no question that when you're in a heated environment, it could spark a reaction from somebody that's on the edge. And just the self-righteousness that I see coming from both sides is extremely disheartening. But I'm pretty self-aware that the people that this podcast listen to and the people that are on the Facebook page probably lean more conservative than anything else. Maybe we are about 75-25 split, even though we really try to make this a page for everyone. So I'm going to start by talking to people on the right and the conservatives, and the reaction that I've seen that's been out there, the fact that people's first reactions to this were that Hillary Clinton and CNN sent bombs to themselves in the mail tells us that we really are not in a good place in our society. I disagree with Hillary Clinton on just about everything. I think that CNN's coverage during the Trump administration has been atrocious and is fueled with political bias. And yet, I don't buy for one second that it's a practical solution that, or it's a practical answer that people would send bombs to themselves to drive a narrative. And that was the first reaction, was that this is a false flag and it was an inside job. And that was really just amazing, and I was just blown away by the amount of traction that received online. And the other part of that is the fact that there were some people that said it was a hoax, that these bombs were not designed to go off. Again, does that really matter? Does it matter if somebody sends an explosive device as a prank and it's not capable of going off. You know, the fact is that this is somebody that's trying to get our attention, that's trying to create unease and chaos and create a reaction, and they're doing that through terroristic means. Nobody should downplay what we've seen over the last 2 days. Absolutely not. And then on the left and on the media, I'll group them, mainstream media, I'll group them both together. The reaction hasn't been much better on that side either. I was streaming CNN yesterday after I heard about the bomb which was discovered in their mailroom, and I was watching their coverage. And I saw a correspondent outside the White House. This was about an hour after the news broke. And right away, he goes to the narrative about whether or not President Trump is going to address his rhetoric or the rhetoric of his supporters. And I saw where things were going right away, that this was going to be something that the mainstream media was going to jump on right away to try to say that this was a product of the rhetoric at Trump rallies, or language that the president uses when talking about the media. You know, nobody serious that I know of accused Bernie Sanders of inserting violence when one of his supporters shot up a baseball field full of Republican congressmen, because that's ridiculous. Bernie Sanders used supercharged rhetoric when he talks about Republican and conservative agenda. He routinely says that people are going to die because of Republican policies, whether it be on healthcare or in the environment or even net neutrality. If you remember that, people were saying people were going to die because of net neutrality. It was absolutely absurd. But when you have unhinged individuals and they hear these things and they think the other side is trying to do something that's going to kill them, of course it could set off somebody that's unhinged. But unless a politician is directly calling for violence, they're not responsible for the act of an unhinged person. That's absolutely absurd. When there was that horrible shooting in Dallas, where that I believe it was an Obama supporter, and he was a Black Lives Matter supporter, that shot all those police officers in Dallas, nobody that was credible that I knew of said that Barack Obama incited that. Now, he may have been inspired by something that the president said, but again, when you have somebody that's unhinged, that's looking to do something evil, if it's not something that's coming from the president or politician, it's going to come from something else. Barack Obama never told anybody to go out there and shoot police officers. He may have, he may have a political position that is not as supportive of law enforcement as I would like, but he never encouraged anything like that. And I don't know anybody on the conservative side that actually accused him of that. So the fact that that's where the media goes right away is so disingenuous. Because when you look at the things that they're talking about, Donald Trump calling CNN fake news is not the same thing as him telling people to mail them letter bombs. We have to be serious here. And that's the narrative that the media has decided to go with, that calling the media fake news and having your supporters chant CNN sucks and lock her up, that this is inciting violence. And it's totally ridiculous. Again, Barack Obama did this thing all the time. He talked about bringing a knife to a gunfight. Eric Holder just 2 weeks ago was talking about when they go low, we kick them. Hillary Clinton, a week ago, which nobody seems to remember, was talking about that it was impossible to be civil with Republicans. Again, I don't like any of this stuff. I don't like the incivility on any side, but that's not encouraging violence. Maybe you could say that what's coming from the left is encouraging a mob mentality and these very angry protests, which in theory could turn violent, but I haven't heard anybody that's actually called for violence. Not on the left, not on the right. And if somebody unhinged goes out and does something, it's not responsible to try to pin it on the other side, because then we're just jumping to the solution. We're just jumping back to the idea that our political enemies are human enemies, that they're evil and that they're trying to incite violence against the other side. And if somebody does that, if someone calls for it, I'll be the first to tell you. But Donald Trump has said nothing like that. It's a ridiculous narrative. The other part of it, before I'm going to talk about the media more in a second, but I also want to talk about the response from some Democratic officials, which also was very disingenuous. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi issued a joint statement where they said that they were glad that President Trump condemned violence, but they asked him to take back his language where he condoned violence. This is totally ridiculous. Donald Trump has never said anything to condone violence, certainly not anything in this capacity. They go back to this nonsense from 2 years ago where he said he would pay the legal bills of somebody that punched out a supporter that was running around throwing tomatoes. And they go back to that. I don't think he's said anything like that since then. And they say that, oh, that's inciting violence. He's calling for violence. Meanwhile, most of the violence that took place during the lead up to the election was on the left, was from Antifa. Which a lot of the media outlets actually defend. CNN's Don Lemon defended Antifa, saying that violence is wrong, but these people are against the fascists and the racism, so we should cut them some slack. And that's really the thing, that none of this is serious, and the Democrats, for the most part, went right for the political throwback. And the media just went to the narrative that they wanted to run with, that this was Trump's fault, and they were going to use this as an opportunity to make Trump look bad. The other thing that's really, really stupid about all this is nobody knows anything. That was the other thing that I really should have said at the top of this, was there is nothing wrong with waiting for the facts. I feel like in the Twitter age and in the Facebook age, everybody feels the need to have an opinion on everything immediately when it happens. But there's nothing wrong with looking at the facts and saying, well, this is a possibility, but we just don't know anything yet. So, for example, I do think it's kind of weird that whoever is behind this sent a letter bomb to Robert De Niro. It's almost as if they're trying too hard to look like a Trump supporter, but it could just be someone that's mentally out to lunch that is a conspiracy theorist, a survivalist type. You know, these people, they don't really have political ideology. They just cling to radical ideas. And maybe this guy, you know, really does think that he's helping Donald Trump. Who knows? But it also could be somebody that's trying to look like that, that's trying to create a narrative that's unhinged. Or it could just be somebody that's desperate for attention and is enjoying all of the attention. I mean, that is a typical trait of a serial bomber or serial killer, that they enjoy the publicity, they enjoy the attention. It could just be somebody that's completely screwing with us. We just don't know. We have no clue. But the media has decided that this is Donald Trump's fault and this is a Trump supporter. And imagine if we go through all this and we find out that it was some deranged Bernie Sanders supporter, which I'd say it's a 50-50 possibility. Can you imagine the crow that CNN will have to eat? Do you think they're going to? Do you think they're going to admit that they're wrong? Which brings you back to another point, that the media really needs to get off their high horse on this, because they are to blame. Listen, unlike a lot of conservatives, I actually do watch a decent amount of CNN. I leave MSNBC alone because they are very upfront about their bias. They're a liberal network, which is fine. They state their bias up front. Here at the Political Abstract, we're editorially conservative. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I don't have a bias. Everyone has a bias. What makes CNN and NBC News and the other mainstream outlets so dangerous for disseminating information is they hide under this veil of journalism, where they act like we're journalists, we're just calling balls and strikes. When in reality, every human being has a bit of bias, and every institution has some sort of bias. So Don Lemon calls the president a racist every night on CNN. I know, because I watch his show just to see what he's saying. And then he turns around and says, I'm just a journalist. I'm just calling balls and strikes. It's absolute nonsense. And for the last 2 years, CNN in particular has clearly reported from an anti-Trump bias in order to fuel their ratings. The fact is, the Russia probe receives so much attention. It's on practically every night. They act like it's the most important story of the world. Nobody knows anything. half the time they report on it, it's a poorly sourced story or something that has to be retracted. I mean, how many stories have they gotten wrong over the last 2 years? It's not even like they're even trying to hide it anymore. They have a base of viewership that's very liberal, that's very anti-Trump, so they feed into that base to keep them hooked. And they love creating this drama around the Trump administration because they feed into viewership. Again, if their hosts were just honest about the fact that they have this bias, or CNN was honest in their editorial bias, it would be fine. But they continue to portray themselves as this high and mighty media institution that's just calling things as they see them, and it's absolutely not true. And that's why there's so much anger against CNN and NBC News, and you just don't hear any conservative talk about MSNBC because we know they're liberal, they're honest about it, but the feeling is that the other mainstream media outlets are attempting to deceive people by hiding their bias, reporting facts, which are clearly in the narrative direction that they want them to be, that which tends to lean liberal. And that doesn't necessarily mean making up stories. It could mean reporting stories that are poorly sourced. Again, we all have bias here. If you hear about a story and you want it to be true, I certainly think that you're more likely to report it than if it's something that you don't want to be true. And we've seen that a number of times where retractions had to be made because they were reported by poorly sourced stories. We saw that with Michael Cohen, when he allegedly was allegedly going to flip and contradict and shell out all this dirt against Donald Trump, and CNN was reporting it, and then when the story was debunked, they continued reporting it. It could even be something as stupid as I shared this on the page months ago, but when President Trump went to visit the Prime Minister in Japan, and they cut the video in a way that made it look like Trump just dumped this bucket of fish food into the pond. He and the Prime Minister were feeding koi. And they made it look like Trump was just this dolt who dumped this bucket of fish food in the pond and was overfeeding the fish. And then when you saw the full take, you saw that the Japanese Prime Minister did it first. Little things like that. And that's constant. And again, I watch their coverage, so I see it. Everything is framed in a narrative direction to make the president look bad because it feeds into the narrative that CNN's viewers want to see. And the fact that they do not realize that they're a little bit accountable in this, the fact that their coverage is so overwhelmingly against the president, that they are part of heightening the temperature, and that the president is pushing back, it just tells me that nothing is going to change out of this. Marco Rubio had an amazing point the other day because CNN's president, Jeff Zucker, he tweeted a post attacking the president that the president doesn't understand the weight that his words carry and how he's inciting violence against media institutions. And Rubio had an excellent point that calling the media out when they get a story wrong or holding them accountable is not the same thing as inciting violence. So when Donald Trump says fake news, Trump's interpretation of fake news is anything that he doesn't want to hear that's not true. But there are stories that CNN has gotten wrong. And when he points that out, when he points out their biased coverage, that's not inciting violence. That's holding the media accountable. And the media, quite honestly, they do not want to be held accountable. They want to report the way they want to report. And they don't like someone like Trump calling them out on it. And that's why they're so combative, because the president pushes back and he's exposing them for what they are. They're a biased media institution, and they don't like that. But doing that is not the same thing as calling for violence. And that was a great point by Rubio that that people should just keep going back to, that I don't like yelling fake news every time there's a story report that you don't want to hear, because sometimes CNN does get it right, and sometimes they do some excellent journalism. They do have more resources than any other news organization, and sometimes they get a story right. But if they get it wrong, we should be able to call them out on it without people saying, well, why are you attacking the media? Because for democracy to be functional, the media must hold the politicians accountable, but the media must be held accountable as well. And up until about 10 years ago, I'd say that really wasn't the case. There's always been bias against conservatives in the media, but it's really just over the last 10 years that conservatives started developing their own media outlets to push back against the narrative, because conservatives were getting their information from the mainstream media and they were being misled, or just having politicians actively pushing back and pointing out the bias that's out there. And I think it's a good thing because, who knows, maybe if it doesn't make them better at their job, maybe it at least opens people's eyes that no media outlet is truly unbiased. That just does not exist. And the reality is that if you consume all your information from one source, you're not getting the whole story. You have to go to a wide range of sources. And usually if you get it from the left and you get it from the right, the truth is somewhere in the middle. And unfortunately, the media institutions, they just don't want to admit that's the way things are, and they don't see things that way. So they don't like it when politicians and when people push back against that. But Trump has every right to continue to do that, and I expect that he will. Now, as far as how there might be a fallout from this politically, I think the president has actually handled it pretty well so far. He's shown a lot of leadership. The most important thing was coming out right away and condemning violence of any kind and saying that the full resources of the government were behind finding this piece of garbage that's been sending out these letter bombs. He did a great job. And I was a little concerned that he was going to go to Wisconsin last night and then kind of go right back to trolling the left. That's typically his MO. He says the right thing, and then he goes on the campaign trail, gets caught up in the moment, says something that he shouldn't. But he was pretty good last night. He even pointed out that, see how well behaved I'm being. I mean, that's just Trump. But he was fine. Again, saying that the media is dishonest, saying that they get it wrong, that they have an agenda against him, there's nothing wrong with that. That's all fair game. And as long as Trump behaves himself and doesn't say anything that's over the top, I actually think he could incrementally benefit from this whole saga because people will see it for what it is if the left and the media continue to try to make Trump supporters and Trump himself out to be inciters of violence, not having any self-reflection. The other side's not going to take that seriously at all. And then that's just going to juice up conservatives because what we do see in the era of Trump is that conservatives are willing to hold Trump accountable, and they're willing to listen to other outlets hold him accountable as well. But when it becomes so over the top and the media wants to obsess about it day over day and act like it's the worst thing that anyone has ever said ever, then there becomes pushback from the right because people want to rally around the president. You know, it's like I said, it's like an Animal House effect. You know, when Republicans and conservatives see someone else hazing their pledge, they jump to their defense because that's our pledge. We nominated him. We elected him. We'll call him out, but we're not going to let you beat up on him unfairly because we know that you have a bad agenda. So every time the left and the media pulls this routine where they try to pin something on Trump, it just ends up making his support stronger. And then they can't figure out why support for Trump is so strong and why people don't trust the media. It's not because of Donald Trump. It's because people are wise to the game. They understand that these outlets have an agenda, and until they start being honest or start at least portraying their hosts and their reporters as not being these infallible individuals, people will continue not to trust them because there's a million places to get our news from these days. And if you understand what's going on, the reality is cable news, any cable news is not the place to go if you want to be an informed citizen. And I think people are picking up on that. And I think a lot of these institutions are quite honestly scared of that, which is why they push back so adamantly against any kind of criticism against them. But I think as long as the president continues to stay the course and stick to that message and not say anything that could be interpreted as really inciting violence, he's going to be just fine. Everyone kind of ran right to their corners on this, so I don't see anybody changing their vote because of this. And the most important thing is that we catch whoever did this. I'm pretty confident that that law enforcement is going to do just that, probably in the days ahead, and hopefully we can put this chapter behind us. But just a parting word of I don't know if this is wisdom, but I hope it is. When you hear a story and it involves something bad happening to the political side or people or institutions that you don't agree with or don't like, and you jump to a reaction or jump to conclusion and you don't have any proof, ask yourself, do I know this to be true or do I want it to be true? And I think if people just stopped and did that, they would realize people are not sending bombs to themselves in the mail, and this is a serious incident that should be taken seriously and not mocked. It's not a false flag or any of that nonsense. And I think if we kind of just step back and say, again, everybody's good people. We just disagree on very important issues, and sometimes we disagree more than others. Sometimes we disagree adamantly. Listen, I'm from Jersey, and I can tell you that in the tri-state area, when people disagree with each other, they do it loudly, and they do it adamantly, and sometimes they say things they shouldn't, but nobody's inciting violence. Inciting violence means exactly that, that you're calling for violence, and nobody's doing that. So let's just keep that in mind, and we will get through this chapter, and hopefully we'll get to the election with no more of these incidents. And eventually we just have to come to a common ground consensus that we're going to attempt to restore civility. It's just a matter of who takes that first step. And right now I don't see either side taking it. So we'll just have to hang in there and get through this together. And hopefully at some point in the future, things will improve. But I will talk to everybody soon. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your feedback and your participation in this great community of ours. And if you're new to the Political Abstract, look us up on Facebook. We are the Political Abstract, and we're dedicated to facilitating debate, civil debate, and intelligent discussion on all sides of the spectrum. We are editorially conservative, but we do our best to provide quality information and analysis so that you can get a little bit of a different perspective than maybe what you're getting out there from the mainstream media. I will talk to everybody soon. Have a great night and a great weekend. If I don't talk to you sooner, take care.